the man who prepped millions of students to take standardized tests, Stanley H. Kaplan, has died. He was 90 years old. Kaplan started his business in a Brooklyn basement and turned it into a $2.5 billion educational company. NPR's Robert Smith has more from New York.
Outside the funeral for Stanley H. Kaplan this afternoon, friends and family faced a final test of having to describe the man who changed college admissions. Was he A, the businessman?
The legacy of his creating an industry of test preparation.
That was his daughter, Susan Kaplan. Answer B, the revolutionary.
I mean, he was very interested in providing the advantage for the disadvantaged.
That was his grandson, Scott Belsky. Or answer C, the boogeyman.
Stanley was a pariah within the educational establishment for decades.
Andy Rosen is the CEO of Kaplan. As any Kaplan student can tell you, when the question comes at the beginning of a test or a radio story, you go with your gut. D, all of the above. It's hard to believe in this age when there are test prep courses for first graders that once upon a time people believed that you couldn't study for standardized tests.
People thought it was like a blood test. You can't prepare for it. You know, it would stamp on your forehead your worthiness.
But Stanley Kaplan, the son of Jewish immigrants, believed that there wasn't a test out there you couldn't study for. In 1987, he appeared on NPR with tips for acing the SAT. For instance, he noticed that questions were ordered from easy to most difficult.
When you get to the end, and it's a difficult question, quickly you get an answer, and that's there among the choices. You better be suspicious. Ah, they must have plunked in a choice based upon a mistake that people usually make.
Kaplan started tutoring when he was 14 years old, but he always wanted to be a doctor. Even though Kaplan graduated second in his class at City College of New York, he wasn't accepted to a single medical school. He later said he felt it was because he went to public school and was Jewish. There were quotas at the time. Scott Belsky is Kaplan's grandson.
What motivated my grandfather was seeing a lot of people who were really bright and had a lot of ambition, not being able to get into medical schools, to colleges, whether it's because of their religion or because of their race.
Kaplan started his business in a basement, preparing students for the New York State exams. Then came the SAT prep, and an entire generation of striving Brooklyn kids beat a path to his door. New York Senator Chuck Schumer actually worked for Kaplan, his first job, spinning off test prep materials on the mimeograph machine.
Stanley believed that these tests could overcome all the other barriers, that, you know, America would ultimately be a meritocracy. And even if your last name was different or you went to a large, you know, 5,000-person Brooklyn public school, if you could do well on these tests, you could get somewhere.
For Senator Schumer, it was a very, very good score and admission to Harvard. For Stanley Kaplan, the road was harder. He was banned from college campuses and even sued for his claims of improving scores. But in the end, experts admitted he could do it. In 1984, he sold the Kaplan Company to the Washington Post for $45 million. Today, it's the Post's biggest moneymaker. Stanley Kaplan died on Sunday in New York. Robert Smith, NPR News.